Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Maundy Thursday marks a significant event in Christian tradition, the institution of the Lord's Supper, or what some may call the Holy Eucharist, Holy Communion, or Holy Qurbana. For many of us, Christmas is one of the important nights when we count on the light to go dim and angels to take flight, knowing that God has entered our world. But tonight is also one of those nights where we witness God entering our world. He not only enters, but also dines and washes his disciples, and we believe our feet as well. Tonight's act of Jesus crackles the mystery of God on its own, because this night we come to savor the final and most intimate moment with Jesus. Tonight, God kneels at our feet. We eat at God's table and live like angels. Tonight's act of Jesus is a culmination of the sequence of events that took place between Palm Sunday and today. Schemes are afoot, plans are in place, betrayal is in air, and Jesus will be soon arrested. But now, it is like a calm sea before the storm. It's almost time for Jesus' Last Supper, in which Jesus takes ordinary bread and wine, gives it to his disciples, and somehow turns it into the sacred mystery of his own body and blood. In a little while, we all will come together to this table where he will do it again in some strange ways, by some peculiar mystery of love. Jesus will be present with us tonight as he was with his friends all those 1,000 years ago. This is why Maundy Thursday marks a significant event in Christian tradition. I would call it as a night of mystery and misery. Mystery because Jesus somehow turns the common food, that is the bread and wine, into his body and blood, and initiates a new commandment or a new covenant rooted in love, humility and servitude as the hallmark of divine presence. Misery because he will be betrayed soon. He will be arrested. He will be denied. He will be tortured, ridiculed, and finally crucified. However, before we come to the table, there is a concern that we need to deal with. John's Gospel records the matter for concern addressed by Jesus in the act, a particular act of washing the feet of the disciple. No other Gospels records it, but John does it, as it is his community's concern. During Jesus' time, not everyone had the comfort to afford, like the BMW or the Toyota, chariots, horses, or other available vehicles for their transportation. At least we know that neither Jesus nor his disciples or his followers could afford it. People walked for miles with nothing more than a pair of homemade sandals, with two loose straps and old stiff leather that separated their feet from the ground. If the day was dry, their feet were covered with sand and powder. If it was wet, they were stained with thick, pasty mud. Therefore, every household during Jesus' time had a pitcher in a bowl near the front of the door. And it was the slave's job to greet those who enter the house upon their arrival and wash their feet before they entered the house. But Jesus and his friends are from out of the town. The house where they had their last meal was not theirs. They had in fact rented the room to celebrate the Passover. Besides, Jesus and his friends were too poor to afford a servant or a slave. So we might think, or we can assume, that given their closeness, that is Jesus and his disciples, they would have washed their feet by themselves or done it for each other before entering the house. But the other problem is that his friends were already arguing about which one of them was greatest. So when they all walked through that door, dirty and tired after a long journey from Galilee towards Jerusalem, they might have seen the bowl next to the front door, and everyone might have walked through the door just like that. Probably some might have thought, somebody ought to do it, but not me. So, before they began to eat, Jesus did something unthinkable and perhaps unacceptable. He takes the matter into his own hands. John's Gospel tells us that he got up from the meal, removed his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This is the moment that inaugurated a new understanding of sacrament and covenant. Jesus washing the feet of his friends. This moment is not just the virtue of any love, humility, or servitude, but for me, it is an act of subverting the very understanding of love, humility, servitude, and fellowship or community that are shaped by social norms. This act of washing the feet subverts the understanding of power, position, and privileges for which his friends or disciples were hoping and competing for. This is the moment for all of us tonight to remember that if we ever thought that God is too far, too high, too distant, too big, too holy, ever to be able to hear us or see us or care for us, this is the moment for us to watch tonight as Jesus comes low. We might be accustomed to looking up for personal and communal growth in our spiritual, social, economic, political, vocational, and other kinds of lifestyles. Looking up is believed to be the spiritual and motivational exercise to lift our spirits high when we experience low in our lives. But looking up has implications for living up to certain things, expectations, standards, and practices. But tonight, Jesus teaches us something different, completely opposite to what society is used to. Jesus the rabbi, Jesus the teacher, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Son of God, Jesus the one who was there at the very beginning of the creation, the one through whom all things were made, comes down low as he takes up the role from teacher to slave, and takes our feet into his hands and washes us clean. I do not intend to say that looking up is wrong, but forgetting, denying, and rejecting to look down, or highly concentrating on looking high, upward, and above, misses God's messages or God's message and has implication on our socio-political, economic, and psychological well-being. Feet in Indian culture, where I come from, is a very powerful symbol. People take off their shoes when they enter worship places. When sitting, we are taught never to point our feet towards people, especially seniors, and never to spread our feet before an altar or toward fellow worshippers. Yet, the feet of God and seniors are special. God's and even a teacher's feet are often called lotus feet. In some temples and also some churches, the feet of the deity or statues of Jesus and saints are touched to receive blessings. The basis or feet symbolism goes back to our cultural Vedic concept of the universe as the body of God. Just like the body has high and low parts, the universe is considered as high and low. And therefore, the idea has come to understand or differentiate between pure and impure places, pure places, impure places, pure people, impure people, pure gender norms and impure gender norms, so-called pure communities and so-called unclean communities, so-called pure traditions and so-called unclean traditions. By this, society has been divided in the name of sacred and profane. Tonight, as I bring this metaphor or reflect from my own culture, I'm also mindful we might be in similar culture wherever we live in. Even if we are not aware of it, surely we experience the high point and the low point in our lives, in our own family settings, in our own social status, in our own economic earnings, or in our own physical body. We might think that we are low or inferior than others. But Jesus, washing the feet of his disciple, reminds us that tonight God is not trying to emphasize on the high, but he is choosing to be low. To be low. Today we will witness or we will remember Jesus lowering down, bending down to wash our feet. Tomorrow we will see he will further low down from being a criminal to be hung on the cross. And day after tomorrow we will see he will be further lowering down from the cross to the tomb. And the church continues to go on to say that he further lowers down as he was in the tomb to go to the Hades and rescue all those who are crying, starting from the very creation or the creator, the creation of Adam and Eve. Jesus engages in that low. As we have been during this Lent told to meditate or reflect about intentional discipleship, I believe this very act of Jesus reminds us to consciously choose a subversive life, to negate the social standards of high, and to not forget those who are in the low, because the message is clear that God does not want to reside high. Rather, God comes down, puts himself down so that we can see him, we can dine with him, we can have fellowship with him. As we continue to meditate through various rituals, may we ask God to give us the humility and empower us with the Spirit so that we do not engage in this dichotomy of life, of considering one superior and the other one inferior, and believing only God lives in superior and high places, but rather let God give us the humility to recognize that God lives in the low, because God loves us. Amen.